Welcome.
Welcome. Make sure you follow us on handles. IG will.unknown and then DJ underscore drop.
Welcome to another episode of Scratch That, your not so typical morning show. This is a tribute to the old school morning show. I got my co-host again with me.
We in this thing.
Will Unknown. I'm Drop. Thank you all for being here with us today. We got a bunch of interesting content. We just went on a rant of so many different odd things, from the Joel Damon of DJs. If you don't know who Joel Damon is, he's a golfer. We were talking Masters because it was the Masters, and just really went down a rabbit hole of a lot of really cool stuff.
And this is going to be the first episode that at the end we're going to drop an email where you can email us questions you want to hear answered about music, about sports, about production, about wedding DJs. We're going to give you a chance to ask in, and we're going to actually start having guests on the show where we bring in very niche type of people. So nightclub DJs, people that run festivals like Breakaway, friends of mine that I have in Kansas City that run all the market area for that, wedding DJs. We're going to have a lot of wide range services. So start sending in your questions. We'll send that. We'll have that in the bio for you to send in.
I love that. And we just launched our social media. We're really starting to do this thing. We launched the podcast this last week after a few episodes, getting some good views, some interesting views or listens, I guess, in this case, in Europe. Where's Brussels? Is that Europe?
That's Belgium, yes.
Belgium, yeah. It was weird. I mean, from California to Belgium, dude, like, really interesting. My shorts, if you just saw that. My shorts are riding up me. But really interesting analytics on who's listening to the show. So thank you to everyone who's checking this out, listening to us. I promise we're not going to suck as bad as we did the first three episodes. That is why we called it the dumpster fire. And this is now, welcome to the dumpster
fire. We're now pros, actually.
We are pros. We are living in the fire.
The first three I just got community service hours for, but we're pros now.
That was it. He's working off some time, but thanks for volunteering to do that with me. But yeah, we got some great guests. Will's running social media for us, so hit him up on there. But we got some really good topics tonight. One of the things that I wanted to hit on is I'm a huge documentary guy. I live on Netflix, Hulu, Prime, you name it. I'm documentary after documentary. I actually just got done watching, I don't know what to call it. The story of Exodus, all about Moses. So that was really weird. It was a 3-episode, hour and a half each ep. But that was really cool. But anyways, live and die on documentaries. It's most of my cues. But I will say I have watched half dozen plus DJ movies, fictional, real documentaries, from the one on Aoki, one called XOXO, I believe, on there, with Sarah Hyland from Modern Family.
That sounds right.
Haley from Modern Family is on there. Yep. Yeah, she's cute.
She is cute. I've also, you mentioned the Steve Aoki one on Netflix.
Yes.
That one's really good.
That's really good.
I watched one on Avicii that absolutely I love.
Wait,
too.
On what network?
I don't remember. It honestly could have been like a YouTube thing.
Oh, man, I need to look that up.
Just an absolutely legendary figure that literally, you know, was having global hits come after his passing. And I think a life and a glance into what people do and what is involved, you know, on a daily basis is something that I'm just blown away by. Because you always hear, like, these people don't sleep. And then you watch Aoki's documentary and you're like, he's got shows from Germany to L.A. He's literally not sleeping.
He's not sleeping.
And Avicii wasn't either.
He passes out, like, in the car.
And there were times when Avicii, like, didn't even feel well enough to go on stage and did, I think. And
yeah.
So just the day in the life is so interesting to me that I've started Instagramming about it.
Really?
Yes.
You have. And I will say, one of the coolest recaps that I saw, because you normally get like 30-second recaps or like maybe a minute. I think you rolled into almost 90 seconds to 2 minutes because it was comprehensive. And I guarantee you probably could have made a 5-minute reel about it because of how much goes into a day in the life of an event DJ. From, dude, the prep, the prep calls, the prepping of it is relentless. Then you get there that day, you're figuring out your logistics, you're setting up, all while you know in the back of your head you have this plan that you have to execute too. And tell me this, dude, tell me this before we get into your reel. How many weddings do you have a pivot? How many gigs do you have that you are planned up for? And whether it's the run of showtime or something gets flipped, something gets switched, something gets added, like a poem from mom during the toast, which I had at my last wedding. How many weddings do you have where you have a pivot?
I mean, I would say majority, because different than most events we do, the stress is really high. The anxiety is really high. So people, they want it to be perfect. They're always changing, you know, their minds on the last minute because they just are envisioning everything to run so smoothly and perfectly, and they want to accomplish everything. And so pivoting and adjusting and being adaptive and really creative in those moments is the way to have a successful day.
No, I will agree. Smile.
Why do I feel like that's a video?
It's not. It's a photo. It's for the gram. It's to remember this moment. This is the first time we've really done
but you gotta remember, when people are like
this,
you know, wedding DJs, this or that, I'm like, you're convincing people to bring you into their most important day of their life.
Yeah, really intimate setting.
It's not just any day.
Right.
There's so many
and
things.
That's why
that
there's so many hack DJs out there that aren't, I'll say, a little oblivious to what it takes to be prepared to do this right. But secondly, the DJs that lack perception of what is happening, I would say,
it's just like mixing, right? When you're mixing a song, you got to know three songs ahead where you're going. And DJing on a wedding is the same way. When you're doing the first dance, you've got to be ready for the parent dances, followed by usually the dad of the father of the bride to come and do a welcome speech, followed by, hey, you know, table one, release them. You have to be seven steps ahead of where you really are, all the while being present in the actual moment.
Yeah. Being in the moment, but knowing your notes of what's happening next. That's why notes are so important at an event. I can't overemphasize that, because, I mean, I would say that the part that, other than the ceremony, I still sweat during ceremony. It's not
anxiety.
A lot. Yeah, a lot of that's anxiety. It's like, it's just the most intimate moment that you have to be prepared for. But I will say, the moment that you have the most going on, I have it in my head. Tell me, what on the wedding day, what is the most bang, 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 bang moment that you have at a wedding?
We didn't talk about this, so I hope this is your answer, but it's usually bridal introduction, first dance, parent dances, opening remarks. Is that what you're thinking?
My man, you read my brain.
Because
that's a great DJ. You're a great DJ.
It's hard to mess up the bridal introduction into the vibe of the first dance, because they're like you may have the right songs, but you could be playing two different.
You're going from 10 down to 3 very, very quickly, and you have to get them there. But I think it's lining and herding the cats and lining them up. I do last names. I gotta stop doing last names. And last names, speaking of the bridal party last names, because the only last name that matters.
On pronunciations, or you know,
dude, and that's why when I do my final run through, I type it out. They have it all typed up, and then I retype the last names and some first names, based off of how I need to phonetically get it.
This is a question. If you don't know how to pronounce, but here's the thing: after all the meetings we do, you're going to know how to pronounce the bride, or excuse me, the couple's last name.
I've struggled on a couple, but I've got it.
Say there's one that you're not sure, or you genuinely do know and you struggle. Do you go into announcer mode where you're kind of like, and now Mr. and Mrs. Cunning, and you're like, it could have been Cunning, it could have been a lot of things.
No. No, that is that is the one thing I'm locked in on, bro. I could give a rat's backside about anyone else's last name except for the couples. And I had a couple of them, and I did a wedding with a really high-end planner in town, like one of the best in town. And I accidentally said, for the first time, I'd like to welcome Mrs. and Mr. last name instead of Mr. and Mrs. First name,
there's worse
last
mistakes
name.
To make.
There are worse mistakes. You're right. But every bride for that first time wants to hear her first name backed up to her new last name. But anyways, scratch that. Moving. Intros, herding cats, getting the names, turning right into the couple's first dance. And I always say, hey, to stay in reverence of the moment, you know, could you please take your seats and honor what the first couple are about to partake in? Something like that. That normally, dude, you just say it like that. And it's where your confidence has to come in, but you're not being an a-hole about it. But you get right into the first dance. Boom. Father of the bride normally comes up. Welcome. Father of the groom come up. Blessing. Then you got to give your announcement about what's happening at dinner. It is a lot to happen without you really being able to take a peek at your notes. The first dance gives you that, like, 30 to 60 seconds, because that's all I do for first dances.
Not to mention that normally you got to make sure and keep your eyes pretty fixated on the couple to know when they want to be done with a song.
Exactly.
Because they'll tell you, like, cut after the second chorus, but they may be vibing later.
Right, exactly.
They may be over it sooner.
You don't want to cut the song too soon. So that's why I always say, hey, don't look at me until you're done dancing. And I coach them on that right before the intro. You'll come in, you'll do your first dance. Don't look at me until you're ready to stop your song. And I say the same thing when they do their parent dances. But I do the parent dances right before the dance floor opens after the toast, because it gets the attention then on the dance floor. And so that's how I get people geared to start thinking dancing while the couples are having their dances with their parents.
So this may be one of the few areas
we This is where we differ, probably.
Yeah, I like to knock them. I do agree that it draws attention back to the dance floor, but I also think knocking it all out before dinner, because then people take sunset photos. People
get
a little bit too tipsy during dinner. It's better, in my opinion, to knock everything out right at the front.
Why can't we
gate.
Get the toast out of the way before everyone gets hammered during dinner?
Well, those are more fun.
Yeah, you're right.
Talking and dancing
are two different things. Toast is always a great toast.
Man, I heard some good ones this last weekend. They were
cliffhanger?
Like
cliffhanger.
They were
you can't just say that.
Well, I
and
mean,
look away.
I don't think it's in my contract that I can share, you know, details.
All right, I'll give you that. All right, so day in the life of you walk through a really great reel, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I always tell people, they're like, "Well, what are your packages and what are your prices? Is it 4 hours? Is it 6 hours?" I say, "Listen, it really depends what you want me. But here's the thing: if you've booked me for your wedding, I've committed my whole day to you.
Right.
That's."
Except with the cutoff on time. If not, it's overtime.
I will say overtime's the only exception.
Right.
As far as getting there early, calling me day of, FaceTiming the day of, coming out of the venue early, I'm committing my whole day to you because, I mean, logistically, I can't field anything else. And so there's a lot that goes into that. You know, it usually starts with me making sure that I've got all my ducks in a row. And then more than that, I like to be out there early and see who's part of the guest list, who's on the crowd. Like, I walk around an hour before and see what people, you know, are talking about and maybe ask them, make friends. I mean, you're really part of the wedding. You're not just like some corporate hire that comes and like does a robotic job. I mean, you got to really get to know the demographics of the wedding to bring everybody together.
No, I get it. No, you're 100% right. And that's how I base a lot of my dancing of the night off of that. I have multiple playlists built for cocktail hour. It's the only time I believe that you should be able to use a playlist, because you're normally running around doing other stuff. But like, I size things up during cocktail hour, during dinner. I want to know where people are from. I want to know where people went to college, because I know, dude, they went to Virginia Tech. I got to drop a little bit of Enter Sandman in there.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, you know, if they're from Buffalo, I got to play Shout.
If you're 30 and from the Southeast, I already know what you want to hear. You don't even need to tell me. I am literally your plug for the night. And because I'm 30 and I know what I would want to hear. And we're all, you know, when you grow up in the same neck of woods with people, like, you know what hits and what doesn't hit. But where it gets creative is when you've got half the family's from LA and the other half is from Brooklyn. Then you got to be really tricky with it. But like, if everybody's from, you know, Charleston, South Carolina, and the couple was born in 93, like, it's going to be a movie for real, because I know exactly what they need to hear.
Speaking of your token 30-some-year-old, I want to bring it over to my boy Zach Afron for a second.
Ooh.
Which is one of my wife's celebrity crushes. We'll just say the word crush for that. And I tried to dress like him the first night that we met from one of the movies that he was in. And that is why she was attracted to me. But Zac Efron.
Did you know this at the time?
I didn't. No, I never knew her.
I mean, trying to be like Zac Efron is always a good rule.
It's always a good move. It's always a good move. Yeah.
So the movie, you're talking about the DJ movie with him?
No, it was another movie, but it did bring me to the point of Zac Efron in since we were on DJ Movies, We Are Your Friends. Mm. Tell me about it.
I actually think it's a great movie for DJs beginning to watch, or even DJs that have been doing it for a while. So it's been a while since I've watched it, but he talks a lot about building up to a moment where you're literally controlling people's hearts. He's like DJing a rooftop bar or rooftop patio thing in LA, and he's playing house music and he builds up to 128. But it's
that's a great example.
A great scene where he gets to a point, there's maybe 100 people on a deck, where he's literally controlling everything inside of their body because he's taking them there.
Yep.
And people may say that's
like when
that's
people
really
say you get lost in the music. Well, that's exactly
well,
it.
Well, they'll say that's cheesy and this and that, but I do a lot of workout classes. I mean, I do a lot of fitness classes, and for me, it's like I know when I get to a 128 BPM, people are exerting at a different level, and if I drop into like, you know, a Ja Rule song, as much as I love him, at like 90 BPMs, they are going to lose exertion because I'm dropping the beats per minute, which is dropping their beats per minute. And so Zach does a great job of like, he builds all these people up to 128 and then he's just controlling all of
their
emotions.
But it starts at 100 and 100 is like that perfect rhythmatic tempo, just enough to get the hip swaying. Or just enough to get the head bobbing. And like once you get that,
what's your favorite song at 100 BPM?
Oh, man. That's a great question because honestly, I start most of my sets off. Like when I'm at Buho, I play 100 BPMs for at least an hour. I have a ton of 100 BPM music. I would say Hypnotize by Notorious B.I.G. I have a house edit of that, and it just hits because no one expects at Buho for Notorious B.I.G. to drop, and it's got that type of demographic that comes out that appreciates B.I.G. I won't sugarcoat it, and when I can mix in Jay-Z, B.I.G., Tupac, even some clean DMX at 100 in some house, dude, you could take any song, throw it to 100 BPMs. Not any song. You could take a lot of songs. But I did a house edit of Lose Yourself by Eminem, and it's one of my favorite edits I've done. Mm-hmm. There's just something sweet about 100 BPMs that's like you're not there to party with it, but it's enough energy to get you moving. Does that make sense?
It's very workable.
It is. You could go up or you could go down with 100 BPM. I'd say if I need to get back to home base, it's back to 100 BPMs without losing a party.
So what's your favorite, speaking of BPMs and now?
No, I can't move on yet.
Okay.
I can't. I'm sorry. We got to go back to We Are Your Friends. Great movie. It gets you. It really does. It's a cheesy love story that I absolutely love. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's who he falls in love with.
I mean, do you believe in love?
I believe in love. I believe love is blind. How's that going for you?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I left off
Dustin
of the day
Lynch
in the
concert.
Life. One of the things I left off in the day of the life of a DJ is, you know, while I'm working so hard for the married couple at the time, I'm also looking for people that prospectively want to get married too. So I was on Hinge chatting with someone that was on the show Love is Blind, but we'll leave their name out of it. But yeah, you like the love story of the Zac Efron movie.
I do. And I didn't even know who she was at the time. And speaking of the devil, Donnie's blowing me up right now.
He should be here.
I know he should be here. He should have been with us tonight, but we'll...
Maybe he wants to do one?
We'll hold his feet to the coals for another day. Coals, both. For another day, but didn't know who she was, but Emily Ratajkowski.
Is she brunette?
Yeah. I know. It goes against my Bible. It goes against my Bible. Will knows that I'm a blonde guy, man. I'm married to one.
We both have playbooks. Well, excuse me, I have a playbook.
keep me from getting canceled, please. No, I love my wife to death. She's great, but you know, she knows that I can find people attractive and there's nothing wrong with that being married, as I know that she can find people attractive and there's nothing wrong with that and sharing that with your spouse. But Emily Ratajkowski, yes, she is a brunette, but man, she is, she is the girl next door who is just, I mean, she's beautiful without even trying, but she plays a great role in that movie. And I think those two, they couldn't have casted a better plot for a DJ movie with two great looking people. I mean, they made it happen. But no, you were right. They really do a great job of explaining that. But dude, whoever bumps into a producer like that and then just says, hey, you want to come into my studio? It's a little far-fetched, but man, it's a great movie. And I really, really, really love it. Okay, sorry. Scratch that. You wanted to pivot. I want to give you the pivot.
2000s, favorite early 2000s song, and what does it remind you of? Also, how old were you in early 2000s?
How old was I in early 2000s? I graduated high school in 2003.
Wow.
I know. I know. You were in like fifth grade? Fourth? Third?
Sounds about right.
Man. I know. I
hadn't had my first kiss yet.
Can't make me feel old. Yeah. So it was in one of my favorite songs. I get this request every wedding I play, every corporate event. Get Low, Lil Jon. You know, in a weird part, I was working on my car in the garage. And when I say working on my car, I think I was probably waxing it or something. I don't work on cars. I've never had grease under my fingernails, unfortunately. I did work at Nissan. We had talked about working at car dealerships.
Honda, baby.
I worked at a Nissan dealership in between high school and college. And all I did was I detailed cars after they were sold. You know, I got the stickers off. I waxed them. I cleaned them. I put the Windex stuff on them. And anyways, so don't know how I got there. But anyways, scratch that. Going back. So, oh, yeah. I was working on the car in the garage, and the song came on. And when I heard, to the window, like when I heard that, I instantly, and it's funny, you mentioned.
You were cleaning a window?
I literally was cleaning a window.
That's wild. No cap.
But no, so you know what voice that actually sounds like when you hear To the Windows, To the Walls? I thought it was Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit getting involved with the rap song. I did. I literally did, because he has that voice from, like, I don't know, Think About It, Nookie, all his songs. Like, he's got this voice that when he sings, it's almost, it has that same timbre to the vocals. Anyway, so I thought it was Limp Bizkit, but I found out it was like this dude, Lil Jon. I was like, what's a Lil Jon? And I fell in love with it. And so I left for college shortly thereafter, and I didn't hear it again. And I was, first week of college, I played lacrosse. So obviously the seniors gathered us up. We moved in early because you had to when you played sports, because you started fall ball. And then I went to a party my first night of college. And that's where the gloves
came
out.
That's what athletes do, though.
It's just, I was not,
it's not your fault.
Ready for that. And that was my first experience with really alcohol. It was a disastrous night, to say the least. But it came on. It was like midnight, and the song came on. And me and a couple freshmen were just like rapping it. And well, let's just say I didn't know it, so I was standing around while somebody was rapping it. And it came on again. And I will forever remember that moment in the living room of one of the seniors' houses that we were partying at, and that song came on. That, for me, that was a powder keg moment in my life. That's a moment I'll never forget, because that was the first moment that I ever felt freedom in my life, I felt. Because I'd always lived at home. I lived in the type of household that you knew I lived in. That was the moment where my eyes opened up, and I was like, this is the world? Or this is college, at least, which I was not prepared for. But that song came on, and that is the nostalgic moment in my life. Every time I hear it, every time I play it, I go right back to that dark living room with like a dance light on and just having the time of my life, bro. How about you? I know that was like a really deep
moment. We're going to come back to college in a minute, but yes. For me,
third grade. No, wait, you probably weren't.
So there's songs like that. For me, by the way, my college song was Levels by Avicii, I think one of the most instrumental. So it came out in 2011, which
was a freshman. You got trolled for that on Instagram, actually, didn't you?
But early 2000s, when I was a little baby.
Oh.
So I've had two celebrity crushes that are musicians, Mariah Carey and Katy Perry. The first, which was Mariah Carey, who sang a song, We Belong Together. The music video.
Oh, yes.
Will absolutely train wreck you. Don't watch it if you're having a down day. But I think it was the first time I like was interested in a girl and like maybe even wrote her a note, and she wasn't feeling it back in probably seventh grade at this time. And then I started hearing that song and I was like, we belong together. But at the end of the day, she wasn't feeling that. So I get really sad when I hear that song, yeah. But I love Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
And that song has been like true of like every person that I've ever wanted to be with. Like, what are we doing? We belong together.
No, I feel you. I highly dislike Mariah. I don't know why. I mean, really? I do. It's a little arbitrary.
I've started playing Always Be My Baby to start out some sets, and people really mess with that.
Yeah, but Mariah's a lot. She's a lot. I don't know. Katy Perry. That was like one of my first crushes.
And the thing I love about Katy Perry is she grew up in the same household like us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I remember it was so controversial for her when the I Kissed a Girl came out. And I remember like the interviews that she was getting, you know, because a lot of people knew about her. Her background, and then it was like, what? You know, but dude, you gotta sell albums, you know? That was like controversial enough with that being
this
weird.
May not
now,
be
if
true.
That song came
this
out today, no
true,
one would
but
blink an
I heard
eye
that,
at it.
Like, she wanted to go out with Tim Tebow back when he was kind of that guy, and he shut it down.
I could see that. Tim's a respectful dude. A lot of people hate on him. I got nothing but respect for that dude. And now look who he's married to. Like Miss Universe or something.
He did well.
He did really well, and found a good core value person. Just like, you know, I dog on the Bachelor.
Do you think
all
I'll
the time.
Do well?
What?
Do you think I'll do well?
Scratch that. No, but you know, I hate on the Bachelor too because I think it's so stupid to force an engagement. That's why I like Love is Blind. But anyways, no, Sean Lowe is like the only Bachelor who I've ever thought has like done it right. And you are probably way too young to know who Sean Lowe is.
No clue.
Okay. He married this girl named Catherine. They shared Christian core values. It was beautiful. They're still together. Beautiful kids. But anyways, man. Last thing I want to hit real quick, because I think you took a lot of heat for it on Instagram, but when you posted Levels by Avicii, might be one of the most EDM influential songs of the generation. I think you're exactly right. I think that song really highlighted the abilities of collaboration for EDM and artists out there, because who went and redid Levels?
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida. And Flo Rida probably made his song become way more popular than the original by Avicii, and I really think that started opening the door for EDM collabs. Now, you don't see an EDM song coming out without a collab
by
from
the
somebody.
Way, we'll have to talk, just mark this down as a note, about sampling going forward. We got to talk about sampling.
What are we talking about with sampling?
I mean, David Guetta, he just dropped this song with One Republic called,
oh, yeah,
I Don't Want to Wait. Do you realize that was the same song that Rihanna used for Live Your Life, and that another dude used in the 80s, if I'll have it ready for the next episode. But that song has been run through like a couple times
David
now.
David Guetta.
And it's a great song. I love the song by David Guetta, but it's been sampled multiple times.
Yeah, no, and you have seen it more in the last 3 years than you ever have before, from Barbie Girl to everything else. I mean, Baby Don't Hurt Me. They have brought so many songs that I grew up in middle school. You're probably still in pull-ups. But they brought so many songs from like the late 90s back that are absolute bangers today. And the kids are like, I love that song. You had no idea.
Like Lil
how
Boo
I grew
thing
up on
that's best of my
exactly.
Love.
Exactly. Yes. Dude. So I know we ran a little long today, but this was a good one.
This was a good one.
This was a good one. So, but again, hit Will up. Questions, comments. You want to be on the show. Give my man Will a holler. Dude, peep our social media. What's our handles?
Our handles are scratched out, but we're going to put them all for you to click on in the bio after this show is over.
Click the bio. Click the bio. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening and being here with us. You know, again, we're trying to be more than just a podcast. We really are trying to be a tribute to the morning show that at least I grew up on. But yeah, man, from... the co-host, Will Unknown.
Scratch that, baby. We'll be back.
Keep it real. Keep it safe. Keep it real safe.